Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. We are here to discuss again Nancy Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie has now been missing for over 30 days. We are on day 31 of her disappearance. She disappeared from her home, and I say disappeared. She didn't disappear. She was plainly abducted, kidnapped, taken from her home, from her bed, according to statements made by Savannah Guthrie and from law enforcement, and where we can see that the disconnect from her Apple Watch, from the nightstand, from her pacemaker occurred at 2:28 in the morning. Somewhere in and around that time frame, she was taken. We know that the camera was actually disabled at 1:47. I wanted to give everybody just a refresher here. I'm going to put up the timeline. I'm going to try to be directly to the point today. I think yesterday, hopefully I wasn't too rambling when I was talking about all the detailed messages and communications from the Guthrie family to the abductors as well as to the public. When you get into the esoteric nature of what is said and why, and the behavioral science unit, it can seem less brick and mortar. And I know that many of you here are what I call brick and mortar investigators, brick and mortar fact seekers. And I'm actually a very brick and mortar person also. But I also understand the importance of breaking this case is linked to understanding the motive. So we're going to talk a little bit about motive today. I've touched on not a lot of different motives. I keep going in the same direction. Mac and I are definitely, Mac meaning Cheryl McCollum, Zone 7, wrote the book Swamps Don't Swim in the Sewer about a case she was involved in. Listen, we're down the same track on this because, as everybody knows, the family and spouses have been cleared by law enforcement. I know a lot of people don't want to believe that. They want to continue to speculate that Tommaso Cioni and as well as Annie, I think, are involved in the brutal abduction of Nancy Guthrie, their mother and mother-in-law. I'm not going to harp on this anymore. As I said, in 28 years, and you can really add 6-7 years of expert witness work with various federal state authorities on both sides of the coin, I take the cases now that I believe in, which is really fun. I'm not forced to take any cases. I can take a case that I believe the facts support, and those are the only cases I'll even consider. So in all these years, I've never seen such a strong statement come out by a local department. And then you add to it that they are working with the FBI and had been working with the FBI for many days before that statement came out. I just can't believe that that would be allowed under the nose of the FBI without them concurring with that statement. So I believe that they are cleared because that's what law enforcement is saying. And like I said, if it ends up being something other than that, I will gladly say that it's a first in my career and denote it and learn from it. But I just want to go in with that caveat. I want to talk a little bit about these interviews that took place by a local reporter that did really such a great job of getting these interviews. So if you recall, and I did find one pair with both sides. If you'll recall, there was a search warrant, and I think I have a couple of photos here. Let's see. There was a search warrant that was served at a house and on a vehicle. This was a Range Rover. And the individual in that vehicle was Luke Daly. This is him. And this is his mom. And essentially, we don't know what promulgated that warrant, but this is what we do know. We know it was signed off on by a federal judge. And again, this was one of the first indications that I had that the switch was happening from a local investigation-led situation and a task force/FBI-led investigation. When I saw it was a federal search warrant, I went, whoa. So that, just to go through that process a little bit, I'll be quick. FBI agent writes up a probable cause statement. And that is a statement of facts that would indicate there is probable cause to search and seize a particular vehicle and search and seize or search a home. And the level of probable cause, just so you know, obviously beyond a reasonable doubt, is the highest level. And it doesn't mean without any doubt. It just means without a reasonable doubt. And below that is preponderance. And those are in civil cases. In other words, is it 51% likely that that truth has been reached as opposed to 49%? So that's the only thing you need is a preponderance in a civil case. And then below that is what a grand jury, what a judge wants to see on a search warrant affidavit and other arrest warrant affidavits, all sorts of affidavits and uses that only require probable cause. And probable cause is basically, it's probable to believe that an incident exists, whether that's the evidence shows that there could be indicia of a crime in that home or that this individual is involved in the crime. Okay. So that is probable cause. And below that is actually reasonable suspicion, which as a law enforcement officer, I don't need a judge to tell me I can, as an example, detain somebody if I believe there's criminal activity afoot. So I'll give you an example. One time I was on surveillance on a completely different case, but I was at this location at between a Denny's and a Motel 6 surveilling a completely different situation with partners. And I saw outside of the Denny's an older woman, I mean, much very old. And I saw a young man run over to her, snatch her bag, push her to the ground and flee. So right there, I had reasonable suspicion to believe he committed a crime. Ran over there, that poor woman, I don't know how harmed she was. She was definitely harmed. I don't know if she had broken bones or what, because I went after the subject. There were other people that were there that called 911 and were going to stay with her. And at that time, I wasn't a medic. So I fled with other agents to track down these people. Nevertheless, that is the level that all I need is reasonable suspicion. And that was obviously very reasonable. So I just wanted to go through those factors. So a judge, not only did an agent, their supervisory staff, the case agents and officers on this case, a prosecutor and a federal judge believed there was probable cause, again, understanding that standard, that there was indicia of the crime or facts or proof in some way, or I'm sorry, evidence that in some way linked this home or what was in that home to the abduction of Nancy Guthrie. They also seized the vehicle, which was a Range Rover driven by Mr. Daly on that day outside of the Culver's prior to him arriving at the house. This was a picture of that. So I want to talk a little bit about this because I think it's important. So why the tarp was up, something that bothered me from the beginning, because you never do this. You don't do that. So it was interesting because in the interview of Mr. daily, he mentions a gun in the car. And I wondered if there was a gun in there and anything else that a law enforcement didn't want people to see. Because if a YouTuber would have looked over there and seen a gun in the car, they would, oh my gosh, there's a gun in the car. She's likely been shot, you know. So when I first heard that a gun was mentioned and he said it was in the vehicle, it made me wonder if that's what they were trying to cover up, because they didn't want YouTubers, streamers, media, otherwise speculating that, you know, you can imagine how you could run with it. So we don't know what else was in the car that would have caused this, but I'm thinking a gun would cause them to possibly do this. All right. As far as the interview, just to get down to the long and the short of it, essentially, Mr. Daly says, listen, I'm not involved, had nothing to do with it. And that's his story. Now, when I look at this face, and then when I look at, did I pull a picture of Porch Guy? Let's see if I did. Oh, I pulled that picture, but I didn't. Did I not pull the close-up? I did not pull the close-up. I'm only allowed 10 photos that I can show, unfortunately. But when you see, and a lot of accounts are doing this, a lot of TikTok accounts and other accounts are saying, see, when you put the mask over the face, these are the eyes, this is the, you know, the mouth, this is, he doesn't even have a mustache here, but that if he had a mustache, it's him. That's what they're saying. You know what? I don't see groomed eyebrows at all there, but nevertheless, do I believe that this could possibly have been part of the probable cause affidavit? In other words, his similarity of look to Porch Guy from what we can see behind that mask. Do I think that somebody could have called in a tip and said, oh my gosh, I know who it is. This guy's a bad guy. He's involved in drug trafficking. He's involved in, you know, nefarious criminal actions. This is where he lives. He was out and about that night. He just bought a Range Rover, so he got into some money. Maybe that's connected. Maybe he got the payoff for his role in this kidnapping. You can see how an individual, we always say, see something, say something, come forward, give us your tips. They've got over 30,000. Give us your tips. Tell us. Can you all see, hopefully, how something like that could have happened? I think that also happened in the first case that involved, that was much closer to the border, about an hour away, that involved the detention of that individual, another car stop, and they were detained. So I think that that's likely how we got here. That's likely how law enforcement ended up searching her house. And I know, you know, that we are in different times. I can't imagine working in the 28 years I worked. I can't imagine having every move I made, every law enforcement decision I made, every search warrant conducted, every detainment done, scrutinized like it is scrutinized now. It's tough. It's tough for law enforcement now. I think in some ways it's a good thing when you see something bad happen, but this isn't bad. They had a tip. They had a warrant to search and to seize this Range Rover. They were concerned it was involved. They were concerned Mr. Daly might be involved or they wouldn't have detained him and talked to him. But the bottom line is they gave the Range Rover back. And as many of you who follow here on the Morning Report, wow, you know, that is what I've been asking about. Is the Range Rover back? Is the Range Rover back? Well, now we know the Range Rover has been returned. So when I heard that and that came forward, it made it clear to me that they don't believe that Range Rover is involved. You would not give the Range Rover back if you believe Nancy Guthrie was in there, if you believe there was blood in there, if you believe that that vehicle was used in any way, shape, or form to transport or otherwise help commit this act, you would not give it back. So I want to make that crystal clear. You can't just keep a vehicle forever without continued probable cause that it's involved. Just like you can't keep Mr. Luke Daly. You can't keep him if you investigate him, if you detain him, maybe give him obviously he was interviewed, and what other techniques were used, and you discern he's not involved or you believe he's not involved. I said this from the beginning, you let him go. That's the whole purpose of a detainment. You detain, and then if you develop more and more evidence and facts, you keep them. You keep them. Apparently that wasn't done. And I looked this morning and I saw, oh my gosh, I saw social media going insane about Daly, and it's him, and they didn't like his answers, and they thought he looked nervous, and you know, they were judging his demeanor and blah 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 blah. Listen, I'm a brick and mortar type of investigator, an Occam's razor brick and mortar. And what I am judging this from is the fact they let that Range Rover go and they let him go. I quite frankly never really understood this nexus from the standpoint of I don't believe he had the vehicle when this crime was committed. But nevertheless, the vehicle obviously is not determined to be to provide the evidence that they thought it might. And so they've released it. And I want to touch too on this. Can you imagine if law enforcement doesn't follow up this thoroughly, doesn't seize the vehicle that they think could be involved, doesn't interview a man they think looks like porch guy and could be involved, doesn't go to the home associated with who they think is porch guy or could be porch guy? They have to do that. You would be absolutely falling down on your face if you don't follow legitimate leads. And we know this was legitimate again because you had prosecutors and you had a federal judge sign off on these warrants. That's as legitimate as it gets, people. So many people are asking, well, are they going to get sued? Or, I mean, obviously they have a lawyer, you know, the other individuals who people get lawyers, they sue all the time. The Bureau gets sued all the time. That part isn't new. You break down a door and people want to sue. Even when they are the bad guy, they still sue you. It's unbelievable. Nevertheless, the Bureau financially will take care of anything they broke. And one of the first things you do when you go in and start to process a crime scene, first of all, you sketch everything, but you also photograph everything. And after you photograph your entry photos, then you take photos, you do your exit photos so that no one can say you broke this, you broke a vase, you broke a door, you left my house in disarray, you ruined everything, you killed my dog, all these other crazy things people will say. Now, she was very much inconvenienced. It was 6 hours she said she spent with agents in the SWAT van. I can tell you, I always laugh that I think I literally spent more on cheeseburgers, sodas, coffee, waters, whatever it was that made the people that I had detained happy or satisfied. I spent more than I probably spent on my own meals or lunches, I should say, in a month at times. Because that's what you do. You don't get paid for that. You don't get expense it. You do it because it's the human thing to do. So I quite doubt she was uncomfortable in there in any way, shape, or form. I bet you they offered her water. I bet they had snacks. I bet they offered to get food for her, whatever she needed. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's not uncomfortable knowing strangers are in the privacy of your home. That's why we have these huge protections against unlawful search and seizure. But this was not unlawful. This was absolutely lawful. And it was based on information believed by a federal judge and all these other entities. She says that if a door wasn't open, they would just break it in. I find that very hard to believe. First of all, most people don't keep interior doors locked, to be honest with you. And if they did, they would have gone out to the car and asked her, do you have a key? How can we get in? How do I know this? Because that's how we operate. That's how the FBI operates. You don't go breaking into doors when you have the individual there that can help you get in. So I didn't believe that part of her story. And it's sad because when I didn't believe that part, it made me question all the parts. In terms of her legitimacy, is she, you know, just out there trying to get a dime and notoriety? Because quite frankly, if this is me, I don't want my mug splashed all over. But by her deciding to go public and go out and do interviews, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more, she's making that decision to put her face out there and have people associate her with Nancy Guthrie's kidnapping and run wild like they're doing right now. But this was a decision they made. But anyway, I don't believe they busted in interior doors. I find that very unlikely. But if they did, let's just say they did. She wasn't there, but say they did because she went back and she saw a door was broken. I can tell you, and of course on a sweep situation, but this was different. This wasn't what we call a dynamic entry where you blast open the door, you breach it, you throw a flashbangs, you go room to room with a SWAT contingent. That was not this situation. So nevertheless, they would certainly have to clear for safety. Could they have kicked a door in? It's possible, but the Bureau will pay for any damages done. You know, I've had to do it. Agents have to do it. When I say had to do it, we didn't pay, but we had to submit that. And there's case funds that cover things like that, damages to a third party residence. There's things that are done that it's part of the job. There's no other way to do it so safely. So anyway, and as far as him, again, I think we can all see likely where this probable cause might have stemmed from. All right, I want to move right along today. I want to get into, again, this photo. I'm not going to belabor this because I've talked ad nauseum about the fact that I think this is a walkie-talkie. Now, I want to show you a couple examples of walkie-talkies that are sold actually at Walmart, since we know there is a Walmart theme to this, right? We know that the backpack was exclusively sold at Walmart. So whether he bought it at a Walmart, whether he received it as a gift, we don't know. Whether he bought it some time ago, we don't know, but we know it originated at Walmart. And then the other clothing is also in the holster and the mask is believed to have had something very similar to that that was also sold at Walmart, not exclusively, but sold there. So these are some walkie-talkies that are actually sold at Walmart that I thought sort of fit that antenna description. I want to make something, I want to let everyone know. So every walkie-talkie is a two-way radio. That's what they are. But not every two-way radio is a walkie-talkie. Does that make sense? So there's two-way radios that can be stationary at your house, at your office, at a location in a van. That's considered a two-way radio. Communication system and repeaters, which is the Bureau had this. So we had walkie-talkies, two-way radios. You could call them whatever you want, because as I said, all walkie-talkies, in other words, we called them handhelds. We never called them walkie-talkie. Do you have your handheld? You know, we talked about handhelds. Those are two-way radios. And there are repeater systems that were set up all over this country that the FBI utilizes so that we, when we use our two-way, our handhelds, that they're strong, you know, because you need that to increase the strength. Our vehicle radios also use the repeater system, basically radio hubs, two-way radio hubs that bolster that signal and communication so that we could be heard. And it was very interesting on our handhelds. If we got too far away from each other or from our vehicles, we could not communicate well. It becomes very shh. So I just wanted to discuss that. So when I say walkie-talkie, I mean a two-way radio. They're the same thing. As far as this being a Wi-Fi jammer, what was in that pocket, I'm not buying that. I really am not. How long were they going to jam? You know, would they really risk whether it would work? Blah, blah, blah. No. I think this was a communication system. And quite frankly, I was sort of in a way bummed to see this, because even though from the beginning, if you look back at the beginning, I've always said more than one person would be involved with this, it really interrupts and goes against my motive theory. And that there would be more than one person involved. But I really think there is. I think somebody entered from the back. I think that the job of porch guy was to disable the cameras so that they could take her out the front. Right? So he's there. You could see him kind of reach over. And again, he goes back and gets that shrubbery. That will always bother me. But he's disabling that camera. And we obviously know she was taken out the front. Her blood drips. Go clear out, by the way. You know, some of the better footage is on the porch, but it drips clear out to the circle drive. So it ruins my theory. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my theory of motive here. But let me make sure I have everything else. If there's anything else we need to bring up. So everybody's asking this morning, why, if Range Rover was given back, why isn't Annie and Tommaso's vehicle given back? And it's such a legitimate, great question. And this is how I'll answer it, because I've been thinking about it a lot from ever since it was taken and the fact it wasn't given back quickly. We know that the last place Nancy Guthrie was, other than her house, was in that vehicle. And that the last person, other than abductors, to see her was Tommaso Cioni, because he drove her to the garage. And I can just see that garage door going down. It's so eerie. And her entering and going to her room and going through her ritual and being deep into sleep, now 2 hours into sleep. So I will hearken back to a case I talked about, the 2019 abduction of, I believe his last name was Ramos, a businessman, where bad guys utilized trackers to track their prey before taking him. It begged the question to me, since we know she originated from Tommaso and Annie's house that night, it begged the question, how many times has Nancy Guthrie been in that vehicle, and how many times was it used to transport Nancy, because she was in there with Annie or she was in there with Tommaso? Was there ever a tracker put on that by these bad guys? I believe these bad guys used two-way radios. They had enough coverage that they haven't been caught with the full force of the FBI and local law enforcement for 31 days. They knew the intelligence of taking somebody from a location that is pitch black, because of their light pollution ordinance. That's big. It kept them perfectly concealed. They went in the dead of night. This was no burglary. If you want to call it a kidnapping, there is no way any kidnapper who kidnaps an 84-year-old woman would not realize not only the possibility that she would not make it through, the probability. So now you know you're likely going into a homicide, committing a murder. You're taking somebody away at 84 years old with health issues who needed medication. And that came out strong within day one. I firmly believe that whoever did this, very familiar with Nancy, very familiar with this house, familiar with this area. We know now, again, through source reporting that, and I always caveat source reporting, I'm sorry, I never want to offend any reporters or anyone, because they're doing their job and they develop great sources in many instances. But I still have to caveat it, because anybody who's a source is sneaky. They're providing information sneaky. And I always question, when it comes to law enforcement, motive for providing information. Fine in whistleblower type situations or, you know, source reporting, and but what's the motive here? How could your law enforcement creed and loyalty and what you swear to, how could you breach that by leaking information? But nevertheless, it's reported as being leaked. And the thing that demonstratively says that could be true is when you look at the photo of Porch Guy the day of the abduction, and you look at the picture of Porch Guy, or possibly Porch Guy, it could be an accomplice, on a different day, that darkness that is there. Full moon, we know, on the February 1st in Tucson. But prior to that, especially that January 11th day, waning crescent. So that is the demonstrative piece of evidence that makes me lean toward believing this source. And again, it's not anything against these reporters who work so hard and develop these sources. It's not that I don't believe they're told these things, because I totally do. I won't be that horse either. Oh, thank you, NJZ, for gifting that. It's wonderful. Awesome. I appreciate that. So anyway, back to a possible theory. If you believe that the family and in-laws have been ruled out, if you believe that, then the motive being inheritance, which I've already discussed, wouldn't have been much that we know of. Now, the inheritance from Savannah Guthrie would have been huge. $40 million is what she's worth. But Nancy Guthrie lived in a house she bought about 50 years ago. It was worth just a little over $1 million. And by the time you paid 6% to sell that house, taxes, fees, divided up by a third, you're not talking much money. And then any life insurance policy, most 84-year-olds don't have hefty life insurance policies that they're paying monthly on their fixed income to give to their children, especially when their children are grown and successful and look out for each other. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, the family's been ruled out, so we don't even have to talk about that motive. But I agree that early on, you have to look at Occam's razor, the people closest. They're out now. So the next, you have a ransom. And in my view, there was no legitimate ransom. I'm going to say something here that may surprise you all. But on these early notes, the one thing, and I've said this at the very beginning, but I'm going to reiterate it now. To say that those ransom notes, there is a similarity compared to the abduction. And this is it. Those ransom notes terrorized Savannah, terrorized this family. They served that purpose. Whether that was the intended purpose, I think it's very likely it was. Not to get Bitcoin 3 days later, $6 million to this hokey account, and then followed up with all these other notes saying, well, really, we're not the abductors, but I know who it is. And if you give me the Bitcoin, then I'll tell you who the abductors are. Look, do I think it could be associated? In other words, could these abductors have also done those notes? I'm going to tell you why I think it's possible. Because it was so cruel. And because they wanted it public, they sent it to three media outlets, two local, which tells me they're local. They wanted to make sure that the local market and local audience would see all of this. And when it didn't get broadcast by those local departments, because those local departments went to the Bureau and to law enforcement with these notes, they said, all right, 12 hours later, all right, this isn't working. My plan is not working. I'm going to give it to TMZ. Because TMZ is obviously going to put it out there. They're not going to keep that hidden. They are going to put it out there. They got millions and millions of, and they have a huge audience. I mean, they have like 8 million or something like that just on Twitter alone. I don't follow IG or TikTok or those other platforms. I'm sure it's equally as gigantic. They have a huge YouTube following. They are huge. They're in mainstream media. All of the networks had them on, all of them, to talk about these notes. This was huge for them. The revenue they made. I mean, I have a teeny tiny channel. I was making about $16 an episode. So funny. But I got into this not to make, you know, I knew I wouldn't make any money. I got into this to have this platform to do victim advocacy and to give back in terms of giving this law enforcement perspective on cases for people to consider. I love this. This is so fun. I love the guests. I've been calling about three different guests, and for various reasons, one can't come on because he has a case too similar, and I totally see it. It's an 80-year-old that I've gone over who was abducted recently. Anyway, he can't come on. Another person, their mother has taken ill. And so, and then another person I really want to get on, Eric Johnson, who I had on before. He was a hostage negotiator. I just wanted him to come on to let us know what he sees through his lens, a very well-respected. But these people are all very private. You don't see them all over. These are people behind the scenes still doing the job, still doing polygraphs, expert witnesses, things like that, that don't come out on platforms, that are really just doing me a favor. And so anyway, back to what I was discussing, and I want to look at this really quick just to give a shout out. Thank you. Another one. Oh my gosh. Thank you. There's nothing more on this channel. What I find just amazing is when people not only subscribe, but when they become a member. There's many shows you can't see unless you're a member, and previews we do and things. So I hope some of you may consider, it's $1.99 a month. I keep it very low. But I feel like when you're a member, you should get special treatment. Nevertheless, I want to get back on motive because I believe I've digressed again, which I tend to do. And I swore today I was going to digress less. But back to motive. Inheritance, life insurance is out. Ransom is out in terms of a legitimate ransom. But do I believe those notes could be related to people responsible here? My gosh, I believe it could be possible, only because I believe the motive of the abductor and the motive of who sent out those ransoms are the same. And what is that? I don't think it's money. I think it's terror. I've said this from the beginning. My motive on this case has never changed. It's terrorizing Savannah, terrorizing this family, and out of a retribution or a hate that has festered and festered. I wanted to bring up, thank you, Monique, from South Carolina. I'm assuming, and I should never assume, that SC means South Carolina, but that's what I think when I first see that. Has anybody read this book? Some people aren't big readers. I would consider myself not a big reader, but used to be a big reader. And I love the classics. I love Edgar Allan Poe. Okay, I know that's dark to say because he is pretty much completely dark. But if you haven't read this book or listened to it, it's interesting because this book, it's basically about an individual who ends up luring his best friend into a wine room cellar and brick by brick casking him in, killing him brick by brick. Why? Because he says he suffered 1,000 insults. It doesn't matter whether a person or individuals mean to insult. It matters how it's perceived and taken by the person who feels slighted. Now, do I think this happened? Do I think this is a direct analogy? No. But and this is obviously a fictional book. But it just reminded me of what could possibly be, it's sort of, this book shows hate and how that can happen and how that can fester, or resentment is probably a better word. When you feel like you've lost faith or face, you know, when I see this all the time, and saw this all the time, particularly when I worked gang cases. In those 6 years I worked gang cases, I just finished with a gang case, by the way. You look at someone and they take it like you're insulting them. You're not even meaning anything by your look, but you have now insulted them. You say one thing off, and this was also in the cartel world, big time in the cartel world. People just didn't die over money or over a shipment not going where it needed to go. In fact, they love to keep the people out there because oftentimes when you keep the people out there, you keep your line of distribution and everything. If not, you got to find new lines. So it's a very expensive business killing cartel associates and members that are helping run your organization. You make them make it up. I'll tell you what you will get killed for. You will get killed for disrespecting. Now that you'll get killed for in a New York minute, not obeying a plan. When they find out you go behind, one of my very first cases, these two guys ended up on, what's the name of that road? Cali. You got to look this up. Cali Street in Houston. These two guys ended up shot in the back of the head and set on fire. And I'm not sure it was in that order. Brutalized. Remember, I had to go down to the morgue because of their involvement in the case as subjects. And that case, I believe, was 100% because they had disrespected the people that they worked for and with. And you just don't do that. So my point on this, those are extreme examples. But did Savannah, did Tommaso, did Annie, is it someone in that sphere? Is it someone in that sphere, in their sphere, that suffered 1,000 insults, that built up this resentment, that wants noticed, that wants his family to pay? That's the motive I'm seeing here. Those ransom notes accomplished that. Did you see the pain in that family? in their first and their third. So sad. I combine that with the familiarity. And somebody said, I took way too long to explain this, and I promised that person that I would go through and make it simple. In number one, she says, she describes her mom and all the beautiful things about her and says, talk to her and you'll see, trying to strike that humanness. And she says, we are merely human. Number two, Cameron, he doesn't talk anything like that. He's strictly wanting facts. Give me proof of life. And we haven't heard, there was no direct line of communication with the note, with the ransom note writers. Number three, the help video. That video was directly to the public, to us, to you and me, to help. That note wasn't to the, or that message wasn't to the perpetrator. Number four, that was the really eerie one. It's never too late. You're not lost. You're not alone. Referring to that book, her book that she wrote that's sold at Walmart, that discusses how when they were kids, they played kidnapping games. They literally kidnapped each other, and Nancy knew about it and, you know, was involved as kind of a role, as a role in these kidnappings. All of that I find just too much coincidence. Lost and alone. It's not too late. The right thing. Do the right thing. Essential goodness. She specifically says this quote, essential goodness is in every human being. This is reaching out, I think, to somebody who was so familiar. And in the final, when she, the final communication, when she gives the $1 million, she says, please be the light in the dark. Please be the light in the dark. Who are these people that seem so familiar to this family? And let this be your sign. In other words, the money they're willing to give. Did they use that type of terminology maybe when they played their game? Let this be their sign. I tell you. Anyway, that's, there you have it. That's the motive that I'm seeing here. I think it's possible that they could be related. And I want to do a better job of being more brick and mortar and giving the facts and getting off. I always digress into some FBI stories or things that I think relate or something I've learned in a case that kind of relates to this, but I don't want to be too rambly. So I want to thank each of you all for being here. I love your feedback. Definitely read your comments and appreciate them. And so if there's something that we can improve for you to be better messaged, something we can improve to get down to brass tacks of what you're looking to know. But hopefully today I've answered what I think the motive was, likely that I still believe it was familiar. I think because of that two-way radio, more than one person was involved. And that is the message here. And so I thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, thank you, mods. Thank you, everybody on the team, for making this channel so fun. And when I say fun, I never do a show that I don't enjoy, meaning what I'm doing. And they say, if you do what you enjoy or is fun, however you want to term it, you never work a day in your life. So my heart bleeds for the Guthrie family. For Savannah, I mean, it was terrible. I posted it. It's terrible watching them go out to those flowers. You know, I think all of us, there was a neighbor that spoke that was so touching. I also posted that. There's no one that watches or involved with these cases that can't completely feel for this family. And my kids were asking me, Mom, why do you think, they're actually studying this case, by the way, in my son's forensics class, which I was shocked. But they said they still don't understand why this case took off. Well, I'll tell you why, in my opinion. It's the same reason Gabby Petito took off, the same reason the Idaho Four took off, and then now this case. The reason these cases take off is because it touches the general person. Everyone has a mom, a grandma, a sister, a loved one who is elderly. And to think when you're laying in your bed in the comfort of your home you've had for 50 years, that you could get snatched and abducted. And Lord knows what else they did to her in that time frame they were in the house. Still believe that was personal, not necessarily physical, but maybe horrible things they said to her. You know, I can just picture somebody rambling about how they've been wronged or something like that. Nevertheless, I just want to say that these cases are hard to follow. And we all just hope for a shred of hope. So let's keep hoping that against all odds, there is some miracle that whoever took her has worked just as hard to keep her alive as they had to take her. That maybe they are south of the border where you can get pharmaceuticals just by walking in, stuff that we have to have a prescription for. You just walk in, grab it, buy it, go. You know, I've got 99% that she's likely not with us, but I always keep 1% of hope. So let's try to keep the hope. Keep wearing your yellow. Put that yellow ribbon around that tree outside your home. And keep praying for this family because they need it. Until next time, everyone. May justice be served.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.